If the sex is relevant or important to you, you use he or she.
The sex is always important to me. Hello and welcome to another episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza. How are you, Craig?
I'm very well, thank you. And hello to our listeners. We're very pleased you can join us this episode. If you are a new listener, if this is your first time here, welcome. We're going to help you, or we are going to try to help you, improve your English and take it up to the next level. You can find more podcasts like this one at inglespodcast.com. And you can study English free at mansioningles.com. In this episode, Reza and I will talk about the uses of the pronoun it, dentist vocabulary, because Reza's just been to the dentist, and the differences between how about and what about. So, listener feedback. Let's start this episode with some feedback and a comment from Reina. Reina says, "Thank you for all your podcasts. I need to learn English because of my job. And you've been a very important support for me. You have given me a lot of support. For me, is very difficult to understand a native speaker." So, Reza, what's the problem there?
Is very difficult. For me, it is very difficult.
And we'll be speaking about that in a couple of minutes. For me, it is very difficult to understand a native speaker. So I would like you to give me some advices.
Advice.
Yep, should
uncountable.
Be advice, because advice, Reina, is uncountable. Some advice to increase this hability, which I think should be ability.
Without H, yeah?
Yes. Well, so we have spoken about this before, Reza, a little bit about improving listening to native speakers. We've mentioned, I think, films, music, podcasts. Just listening as much as possible. It's very difficult to teach listening, isn't it, in class?
Yes.
In a classroom situation, I find it very difficult to improve skills except getting the students to listen to things in the classroom.
Exactly, which is why podcasts are so very, very, very useful, because listeners, as you know, you don't need to attend a class to improve your listening. You just need to, for example, listen to podcasts.
Absolutely.
Anytime and any place you like.
So, of course, listen to this one. Listen to Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. But also, go to Google, and you must have a hobby. Maybe your hobby is photography. So type in Google, photography podcast. If your hobby is fashion, type fashion podcast. If you like music, jazz podcast or rock podcast, and you, I promise you, you will find podcasts about a subject you are interested in. You can also try searching, of course, on iTunes or Stitcher if you have an Android phone, and just try to find a podcast in English about a subject you enjoy. That's probably the best advice we can give for improving your listening.
Another great website, Craig, as you know, in itself, it has lots and lots and lots and lots of variety. TED Talks.
Yes, but that will be for
slightly more academic or more technical, a little
upper
bit.
Intermediate level.
Yeah.
A bit more difficult than this podcast.
Yeah. But, you know, if you're interested in something, or if you need it for your career or your studies, TED Talk will have something there.
Yes.
They have most things subtitled in Spanish.
And the presentations are very, very interesting, very well done, very experts in many, many different fields and areas of all kinds of technology and science and all kinds of different subjects. So very interesting. Go to TED Talks, TED, also on YouTube. And also another thing to mention, I intend to do a small study for our cuaderno at cuadernoingles.com. That's the monthly newsletter of mansioningles.com. And I'm going to do a short piece of research on these websites that I've mentioned before for you practicing English, things that websites like iTalki and Verbling. And I'll put links to those in the show notes at inglespodcast.com. And I will be, in a future podcast, I'll be telling you the results of my my research into these websites and which could be the most useful for you to practice your English for free on the internet. We have some feedback, Reza, from Joanne. And Joanne says, hello, my name is Joanne, and I'm an English teacher of elementary students in Madrid. I've been listening to you for 2 or 3 weeks, and I consider your explanations very clear and accurate.
Thank you.
Nice, Joanne, to hear from another teacher about our podcast. So she said, that's just what I would like to have for my following questions. Number one, what's the difference between how about and what about when you want to suggest doing an activity or a place, for example? How about going to the cinema, or what about going to the cinema? How about at 5:30, or what about at 5:30, etc. She says, I can't really find any difference.
Joanne, neither can I.
Neither can I. For this, the examples you give here, I think it doesn't matter. I think they're exactly the same. What about meeting John? How about meeting John? I can't find any difference. However, I would use what about if I wanted to object to something. For example, if you said to me, Craig, Reza, if you said, Craig, let's go to the pub for a few beers after this podcast. And I said to you, what about your class this afternoon?
Yeah.
So in that situation, I wouldn't say how about, I don't think.
You're showing concern
exactly
about my suggestion.
Or if you said to me, if your mum is coming to visit this weekend for Fias, and you say to me, Craig, let's have a wild party this Saturday, let's get some booze, let's get some drugs, let's invite some hot, sexy women, I would say...
Which I never would, listeners.
I would say, but Reza, what about your mum? Mm-hmm. So in that situation, what about would be preferable.
Can I say that's just an example, listeners, and I would never advocate the use of drugs.
Especially when your mum's coming to visit.
I do advocate having a drink with attractive young women, though, if you get the chance. I do advocate that. Do that.
Yeah, we all do. Only how about can be used to ask someone to give you something or to ask someone if they will do something. For example, Reza, how about lending me a few euros until the end of the month? Mm-hmm. Or how about making a cup of tea? How about putting the kettle on? Put the kettle on, to boil the water. How about putting the kettle on would be a situation in which I will prefer using how about and not what about.
Although what is possible, though, isn't it?
It's possible, but if I had to choose, I'd say how about. So Joanne's second question. She says, in one of your podcasts, you explain the difference between have been to and have gone to. And I will put a link to that episode in the show notes. But what about if you want to make a reference to something that you did in the past a long time ago? For example, when I finished my degree, I went to Southampton for 3 months. I was living with an English family there, and afterwards I came back to Spain and started working in an academy. So, of course, I went and I returned. But as I'm telling my life story, would that be correct, or would it be better to say I was in Southampton for 3 months? Thank you in advance. Thank you very much in advance, Joanne. Well, Joanne, I think we're confusing two things here. First of all, I've been and I've gone present perfect. Secondly, I went to Southampton, I lived in Southampton, I was in Southampton, past simple. So your example was, I was in Southampton for 3 months. We're speaking about a time in the past, un tiempo en el pasado, that's not connected to now. So that time reference for 3 months would be past simple. Reza, any comments?
Yeah, so far so good. Yeah. And as we already know, if you say to have been, you have been and returned. And to have gone, you have gone, but you have not returned. But does it make a difference when you say with the past simple, I went, so that's from the past simple of the verb to go, or I was, which is the verb to be? Does it make a difference in the past simple, do you think?
I don't think it does. For the example that Joanne gives, I went to Southampton for 3 months. I was in Southampton for three months. Both speak about the past. There is no connection to now. And past, both are past simple. I don't think there's any difference. Yeah.
For me, the reason would be probably because they're past simple. And as Craig said, there's no connection to now. So we know that the action to be or to go to Southampton has finished. We know it because it's past simple. Whereas in the present perfect, it's different. Because if I say to you, where's John right now? I want to speak to John right now. And you say, oh, you can't. He's gone to Mexico. I can't speak to John now because right now he's in Mexico. He's gone. But if I say to Bill, I didn't see you last week, but it's nice to see you now. He said, oh, yeah, I've been to France, but now I'm back.
Right.
You see, it's relevant there because we're associating the past and the present. However, if it's all past simple, it's obvious. If I say to you, a long time ago, I went to Southampton for 3 months. Or a long time ago, I was in Southampton for 3 months. Doesn't matter whether I say I was or I went, because it's all in the past at a specific time, a long time ago. So I know it's over. I know that the person is no longer in Southampton.
Absolutely. And also I'd like to mention that with present perfect, I've been... For example, I've been to many places. I've been to Chile, I've been to Argentina, I've been to Paris, I've been to Rome. It doesn't matter how far in the past that occurred. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about my life. Mm-hmm. I am still alive. Thank God. I'm still here. My life is continuing. So I'm speaking about all of my life from the past until now. And it's the connection with now that makes it present perfect. Yeah. So maybe I went to Paris when I was 8 years old, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I can still use present perfect. I've been to Paris. We hope that helps, Joanne. If that is not clear, please write again. Send me another email and we'll try to make it clearer. We'll try to clarify it even more in the next episode. Moving on to grammar, and we'd like to speak this episode a little about the use of it, the impersonal pronoun it. And this subject is inspired by a student of mine in my FCE class, Marta, who has some problems using it, particularly in her writing. Sometimes she uses it when it's not necessary, and sometimes she forgets to use it. So Reza, can you give us a few situations, a few examples of when to use it or when not to use it?
Okay, well, yeah, it's a tricky question for some Spanish speakers, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Sorry, listeners, sorry. We apologize for that bad joke. We couldn't resist. Craig, it's a lovely day, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's a lovely day. It. I'm using it. Why? What is it? What does it refer to, Craig?
It is the subject.
And what is it?
It is the day.
Yeah. It's a lovely day. The day is lovely. In other words, it's a lovely day. It means the day. So if you're Spanish, you might be thinking, well, why not just say is? I'll put on my Spanish accent. Why not say, is a lovely day? Well, no, because is a verb. And like all verbs in a sentence, it requires a subject. There must be a subject.
So in Spanish, you'd say, es un día bonito. Bonito.
Es, just es. You can't really have a subject with es in Spanish. There's none to put with it. But in English, you must have a subject. So since a day is a thing, not a person, mm-hmm, or an animal, you make the subject singular, it. Here's another one. It's sunny. What's sunny, Craig?
The day.
Again, the day or the weather.
The weather.
Could be the day or the weather. Yeah. So if I talk about the weather or the day, well, I guess the day is the weather in a way. Again, for weather, we need a subject to describe it. So it's sunny, it's rainy, it's windy, it's raining, it's snowing. It is going to be the subject for weather. It's a good thing you've come, as I need help. It's a good thing you've come. What's it?
It is the good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It, a good thing. It's a good thing
that you've come. It is a good thing you've come.
What about this? It was lovely to see you yesterday. It was lovely to see you yesterday. What is it?
The seeing you.
Yeah. And in fact, you've changed it to an ing, and you can. You can say, it was lovely to see you yesterday, or you can say, it was lovely seeing you yesterday. They're both correct.
Or seeing you was lovely.
Yeah, turn it the other way around, but so then there's no it.
But then there's no it. So the seeing becomes the subject of the sentence.
Seeing you yesterday the was lovely equals it was lovely seeing you yesterday. If you put seeing you at the beginning, there's no it. But if you put it at the end, you've got to add it, because then we have the verb to be was, which requires a subject. So
if I say it is nearly always sunny in Valencia, it's nearly always sunny here. The it is the weather.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What about this one? What time is it?
Yes, for time, it. Yeah, it is
what,
the time.
What time is it? So it is the time.
And if I want to say son las dos, do I say they are two?
I'd say it's two.
Yeah, but in Spanish it's plural.
It's plural, yeah.
In Spanish they say son las dos, son las cinco, son las siete. Es la una, but son las dos. But in English, it's always singular. It's because it's the time. In Spanish, you talk about the number, the hours. But in English, it's the time. What about this? It was a surprise that we met last week. What's it?
The surprise.
Uh-huh. So very often we have, in the previous example, it was lovely to see you, or it was lovely seeing you. It going with an infinitive to see or seen. And also it going with a clause. It was a surprise that we met last week.
Right.
Yeah. I could say it was a surprise meeting last week. Yeah. But this time I decided to use a clause. A clause means with a subject and a verb. We met last week. So I think people sometimes talk about the complement of the verb to be. So it was a surprise that we met last week is the complement of the verb. Is the complement of it. Not the object, it's the complement.
To complicate matters even further, what about the idea that you could use it as a provisional subject when the real subject is an infinitive or a gerund? For example, it's difficult to live with her, which you could say, to live with her is not easy, or to live with her is difficult. You could change it around and say, it's difficult, it is difficult to live with her.
Yeah.
Or, it's great fun recording these podcasts. Now, that's the gerund. Recording these podcasts is great fun. It's great fun recording these podcasts. Another use of it.
Yes. Another one is with certain adjectives it goes frequently, like, worth. It's worth visiting Granada, a beautiful place. It's worth visiting. It's worth to be worth something.
Another one that I just thought of, it's no point.
Yeah.
It's no point doing it. Or you'd say there's no point.
But you could say it as well.
You could say it's no point. It's no point
crying about it. Yeah. It's too late.
It's no point worrying about it.
Also with the verb to take time. It took us a long time to get here.
Right.
Take plus time, then with an infinitive often. It took us a long time to get here. Or take as necessary. For example, Craig, it takes two to tango.
It does. It takes two to tango, which is not only dancing in Argentina. Yes. It's also, it takes two people, for example, to make an argument. If you're arguing with someone, you cannot argue with yourself. Mm-hmm. You'd be a bit crazy to argue with yourself. So if there's an argument, you could say, well, it takes two to tango. It takes two people to argue.
They're both guilty or both responsible.
Yeah.
So it takes take very common with it for necessity. What about this one, Craig? Peter, not John, ate my piece of cake. Can you think of another way of saying that? I repeat. Peter, not John, ate my piece of cake.
It wasn't John who ate your cake. It was Peter.
Yeah.
You could also use it to represent a noun. For example, I'm taking my phone, I'm taking my mobile back to the shop because it doesn't work. No funciona. It doesn't work. So what's it?
The phone?
The phone, yeah, the mobile. I'm taking my phone back because it doesn't work. So I'm replacing the phone with the pronoun it.
No funciona, you would say in Spanish. But in English, remember, as I said right at the beginning, you have to have a subject with the verb. Mm. So if you can't think what it is, it's going to be it.
It or they.
What about this? Ding, ding. Who is it at the door? Who is it? Is it a thing?
It's a person.
Ah, yeah, we've talked about this before, haven't we? We got the use of it as a person. Who is it?
It's Reza on the phone.
It's me, Reza. I'm presenting myself. So if you don't know who it is on the phone, at the door, etc., you say, who is it? That it is a special use of it for a person. So and that person can reply, it's me, Reza.
It's me.
Not, we don't say, I am me.
No, no.
We say, it's me.
We don't say, soy, I am. We say, it's Reza. It's Reza. Hello. So it can be used for a person, but can it be used for animals and pets? For example, Reza, is this okay with you? Reza loves Berta the greyhound.
Oh, that's okay with me.
It's almost human.
No, that's not okay with me.
Why not?
That's not okay.
Why
with
can't
me.
I say, Berta, it's almost human? It's an animal.
Couldn't you say it to the most glamorous, beautiful, elegant female there's ever been?
It's a dog.
Oh, no, no. So you can use it for animals, but you can also use he and she. If the sex is relevant or important to you, you use he or she.
The sex is always important to me. Mm-hmm. Now, this would be okay though, right? I won't kill my chicken because it gives me eggs every day.
Yes.
Because it's not, I don't think of my chicken as a female or a male. I think of a chicken as an it. So I won't kill
my chicken.
Can I
just say, I'm glad you don't think of it as a male because it would be a really weird male if it laid eggs.
If it was giving me eggs.
Yes. No, but yeah, the sex doesn't enter into it. Yeah.
No. Another use, right?
If it was a male indeed, Craig, it would be a cock, wouldn't it?
It would. It would be a complete cock up. it is used for emphasis as well.
Is it?
Is it? Is used for emphasis before a noun or a pronoun. For example, it was Reza who broke the glass. It was Craig who made the tea.
Was it? Is another use of it.
Was it?
To question something, was it? How would you do that in Spanish? It was Craig who broke the glass. And I say, was it?
So there's another
how
use.
How would you do that in Spanish? Let's test your Spanish. It was Craig who broke the glass. And I say, was it?
Verdad?
Verdad, yeah. That's the only way you can translate it in Spanish. Isn't it? Verdad? Or así?
Así? Verdad?
Sí. In English, you can say, was it?
Another use of it for people. It was Craig, a person. It was Bob Marley who wrote the song No Woman, No Cry. It was Bob Marley. Yeah. And I have one more use, using it for things that have been said before. For example, I decided to come to Valencia in 1997. It was one of the best decisions I've ever made. So it is the decision, so I'm referring to the sentence before. Do you have any more?
No, Craig, that's about it.
That's it. That's it from us. If you have any questions
there's no more
about it, please send us an email to craig@inglespodcast.com or to reza@belfastreza@gmail.com. Moving on to our vocabulary section and dentists this week. Not everybody's favourite subject, Reza, dentists, but perhaps we should speak a little about dentist vocabulary. What do you think?
Oh, if we must. Listeners, just so you know, I'm sitting here with, a hole in my face.
With your mouth?
Yeah, yeah. I guess we all have a hole in our face, which is the mouth. I got a hole in my mouth then, and a hole it shouldn't be there, between two teeth. In other words, listener, as you've guessed, I've recently, a week ago, to be honest, I've recently had a tooth extracted or a tooth taken out.
You've had a tooth taken out. That's the causative, isn't it? To have something done.
Yeah. More of that later. More of that to follow. But for the minute, dentist talk. The dentist removed, extracted, or took out my tooth. Yes, it's true.
How many teeth did they extract? Because the plural of tooth isn't tooths, is it?
No, it's indeed, it's teeth. Just the one. Just the one.
One tooth. Two teeth.
One, two, three teeth.
Two teeth.
Two teeth.
Two teeth or not two teeth?
It's making me feel quite old because the last time I had teeth removed, it was four teeth in one go.
Really?
Yes.
That's a lot of teeth.
That's a lot. I was about 14 years old. And the reason I had those teeth removed was to make room to fit in a brace, which is un aparato that you put in your mouth to help your teeth grow in the right way. 14 years old, and I had perfectly healthy teeth removed to fit in the brace. Now, listeners, I'm a lot older than 14 now, and this tooth was not removed for a brace. It was removed because I'm getting old, and it was bad, and it was wobbly. That means it moved about, and it had to come out. I'm getting old.
It was a fait accompli. It had to go. It had to go. So let's look at some vocabulary connected to dentists and dentistry. So before you went to the dentist, Reza, I'm assuming that you phoned them and you reserved a particular time to go.
Indeed, so I made an appointment.
To make an appointment at the dentist or to make an appointment at the doctor. So you made an appointment. Now, you went for something specific, but what would be the expression if you went to the dentist or the doctor just as a regular, just to see how your teeth are? What's the expression in English for that?
For a checkup.
Yeah. That's confusing because in Spanish, a checkup is revisión. Mm-hmm.
But we don't say revision in English.
But we don't say revision.
Not for that.
Revision is for your studies. You revise your notes before an exam. You do revision for an exam. But to go to the dentist, you go for a checkup to have or to get your teeth checked. So you had a tooth taken out. Do you want to speak about the causative?
Yes, to have something done.
To have something done.
I had a tooth removed. I had an infection cleaned up. To have something done. You can have many things done, for example. You can have your car fixed. And it can be in any tense. Yesterday, I had my car fixed. Recently, I have had my car fixed. Next week, I'm going to have my car fixed. Will you have your car fixed sometime soon? It can be any tense. It's just to have plus something plus past participle.
Or to get.
Or to get. For example, to get your car fixed.
To get your hair cut.
Have your eyes tested. To get your eyes tested.
One problem with this structure in English is if you're using a tense which needs have as an auxiliary verb, mm-hmm. you need two haves because one have is the causative have, to have something done, and when you combine it with present perfect or past perfect, you have another have. So you need to say, I have had a tooth removed, or I've had my hair cut, or I've had my flat cleaned. So remember those two haves if you're using an auxiliary verb have.
And what about the present continuous? Imagine I'm in the dentist right now, and right now the dentist is taking out my tooth. I can say, I am... Exactly.
I'm having a tooth removed, or un empaste is a filling, so ooh. I'm having a tooth filled.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting a filling. I'm having a tooth or getting a tooth filled.
Craig, tell me, have you ever had a crown put on your tooth?
I have, Yes, I have a crown at the moment.
Ah, yeah. Are you a king?
No, unfortunately, I'm not a king. What's crown in Spanish?
I don't know, actually. I know a king's crown is corona.
I think it's the same.
Is it?
Yeah.
That thing you put...
Corona. Yes, corona. It's the same. A crown on your tooth.
For your tooth.
Yeah.
You're virtually royalty, Craig.
One thing that everybody hates when they go to the dentist is the sound of a dentist's drill. To drill is taladrar. And if we don't finish this podcast in the next 10 minutes, we may hear some drilling from the workmen upstairs, because there's some reformers. They're doing up the flat upstairs. So maybe you'll hear some drilling soon. Another use of have is to have a toothache. You can have a toothache, then dolor de muela. Dolor
muela. Una muela.
Una muela.
Oh, I know all about it because it was una muela, a molar that I had removed. Muela is molar in English. And premolar, premolar.
Very good.
And what are the other teeth in English called? The two you've got at the front are incisors.
Incisors.
And then you got one between the two incisors and the two premolars called canine tooth or eye tooth. A bit old-fashioned, but you can say that.
Interesting. Did you have an injection when you had your tooth removed?
I did. I had an injection. That was the only painful part, getting the injection. Then having the tooth taken out doesn't actually hurt.
How did your mouth feel after the injection?
Numb.
Numb. N-U-M-B. Adormecido or insensible. Numb. Your mouth or your gums were numb. Gums, G-U-M-S, encías.
What are typical problems you can have with your gums?
You can have gum disease.
Yep. Or you can have bleeding gums.
Bleeding gums.
You can't have bleeding teeth. Your teeth don't bleed. There's no blood in them. You can only have bleeding gums in your mouth. Your teeth cannot bleed.
And if you have all of your teeth out, to have your teeth out is the same as to have them removed. If you have all of your teeth out, then you need false teeth. Dentures or false teeth. Would you say false teeth or dentures? Both are possible.
I'd say false teeth. I think dentures is a bit more technical. More for dentists to say, isn't
it? My parents say dentures, but... Okay. Dentadura postiza. Mm-hmm. And I have one tooth that's been implanted in my mouth. It's an implant, a tooth implant, implante or prótesis.
And I will be getting an implant soon myself.
Is that for sure, yeah? You're going to do that?
Yes, that's what the dentist said in my last appointment. Okay. I have a gap, un hueco, between my molar, we said muela, and my wisdom tooth. And that gap needs to be filled with an implant. How do we say wisdom tooth in Spanish? Do you know?
Diente sabio.
That's what it means, isn't it? Wisdom is diente de la sabiduría, but in Spanish I think it's la muela del juicio, no?
Do you know, when I was at school, I was so stupid and so slow in some subjects that my teacher recommended I have wisdom teeth put in my mouth to try and make me more intelligent. Any more vocabulary, Rezo, on dentists and teeth?
Plaque is a useful word to know.
Yeah, I think that's the same in Spanish. Plaque or plaque. Plaque or plaque?
Ah, it depends where you come from. I say plaque. Maybe you say plaque.
No, I say plaque. Uh-huh. And, do you floss?
Oh, I hope the dentist isn't listening to me. Not often. Not as often as I should.
I floss most, not every day, but most days I floss my teeth. So you can brush your teeth with a toothbrush and you can floss your teeth with dental floss. Hilo dental.
So that's when dental you put floss. It between your teeth and you move it up and down or from side to side.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to do that. It's good to do that. So it's a verb and a noun. Dental floss or just floss, and to floss your teeth is the verb.
But what's the traditional way to clean your teeth? What do you use for that?
A toothbrush and toothpaste.
Okay. Do you use mouthwash?
I do. I use mouthwash.
Enjuague bucal. Mm-hmm. I learned.
Okay, that's not the nicest subject we've ever spoken about, no. But, you know, there might be some dentists listening. If you are a dentist and you would like to send us a message, send us a voice message on inglespodcast.com and ask us if you'd like us to speak more about dentists.
And while you're at it, ya que estás, while you're at it, give me an estimate, un presupuesto for an implant. Implante. If anyone can do it for less than 1,500 euros, I'd be delighted to hear from you.
Please send your implant presupuestos to belfastreza @gmail.com. Moving on to weekly wind-ups. Do you have a weekly wind-up this episode, Reza?
Of course I do, Craig. There's so many things wind me up. We don't know where to begin. But you go first. Let's hear yours.
Okay, what do I have that annoys and bothers and irritates me this episode? Ah, yes, camping. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not completely against camping, but I only think camping is useful, as far as I'm concerned, in two possible scenarios. The first scenario, you don't have much money, so to save money on staying in a hotel, yeah, take your tent, stay on a campsite where you put your tent, and save money cooking your own food. So, yeah, absolutely. Also, perhaps you want to visit a place that's far from cities, and it's off the beaten track, which means it's away from the tourist areas. It's difficult to stay in a hotel where you want to visit, maybe in the middle of the mountains or in the middle of a national park, but you can camp. Then, of course, I understand why people camp. But when you have enough money and there's a perfectly comfortable hotel with a soft bed where you're going to be nice and dry, where you have hot water and you have a toilet just 2 or 3 feet away from the bedroom, I don't understand why anybody would prefer to go camping. And I have been camping. I used to go camping quite regularly. But I don't understand now why I would ever go back to camping and stay in a tent again. It's not something that I ever particularly enjoyed. And camping doesn't exactly wind me up, but I just don't like it anymore. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I pretty much feel the same as you. I would only go camping to save money or because it was really necessary.
Or maybe a pop festival. If you go to a pop festival, everybody's together, you go with your friends, you put your tents together in close proximity, you listen to the music, great, fantastic. Yeah. Break out the beers and you're in a tent, no problem. Yeah. But going to a place and putting a tent when there's a hotel like 5 minutes away or even a youth hostel, I don't understand it.
Seems unnecessary.
Yeah. What's yours?
My wind-up is pedestrians who take up the whole pavement and won't let you get past them.
Yes, absolutely.
Simple as that. Absolutely. And I'm afraid to say Spain is one of the countries where it seems to be most common. It happens everywhere, but it's very common in Spain.
But what's your thought on this? Because sometimes I'm behind somebody who's just walking slowly, or maybe the whole family with the children have completely blocked off the pavement in a line, so there's no way you can pass. And suddenly they notice you.
Yes.
And they say, oh, perdona, as if like they wouldn't imagine anybody else will be using the pavement. Do you think it's really like an accident, or do you think, what's your opinion on that? Do you know what I mean? In that situation where they suddenly notice you and then they do let you pass. But do you think they would have thought before maybe another person would like to use the public pavement?
To be honest, Craig, I've thought about this quite a lot, and I'm not exactly sure.
Me neither.
I think in a lot of cases they genuinely don't mean to block your path. It's an accident. They just hadn't thought about it. They're thoughtless.
They've never walked on a pavement before. It was their first time actually using a pavement.
You would think so. You would think so. I just think there's a lot of thoughtless pedestrians out there who don't give enough consideration. Why take up the whole pavement when it's unnecessary? But there are people who do. I don't know why they do, but they do. They do. Of course, there's a much worse thing than this, which is not my main wind-up because it's much, much worse. Maybe I should save it for another day. But people going down pavements on motorbikes and bikes, oh, yeah. that's much worse.
Yes.
Much worse.
I agree.
But I'll save that one for another day.
Yeah. If you have a weekly wind-up, if you want to complain about something and practice your English, send us a recorded message on our website at inglespodcast.com. Also, you can send us a sound file with a question or any comments you like. If you would prefer to send us an email, the email addresses you need are craig@inglespodcast.com or to Reza at belfastreza, todo junto, belfastreza@gmail.com. Remember, you could also sign up to our email list at inglespodcast.com and we will send you an email every month with a summary of all of our podcasts. Please leave us a review on iTunes and rate this podcast. If you leave us a review, then more people can get to hear this podcast and our download numbers will increase, and then we'll be able to find a sponsor, and then we'll get money for doing this and we'll be able to produce more podcasts for you. So leave us a review on iTunes and send us some stars on iTunes as well. Remember, you can learn English free at mansioningles.com and take your English to the next level with our podcast here at inglespodcast.com. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later. So, until next episode...
Goodbye for me. I got in first, Craig. I got in first.
And it's goodbye from Reza. Goodbye.